House lawmakers have given final passage to the largest tax cuts in three decades after a revote this afternoon to make it comply with the Senate plan passed overnight. House Speaker Paul Ryan presided.
On this vote, the yeas are 224 and the nays are 201. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
The plan makes large corporate tax cuts permanent and smaller individual tax cuts temporary. Let's get right to our political strategist, John Brabender, Republican strategist. Hi, John.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. And Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. And let me just start with each of you asking, what do you think the significance of this moment is? John, start with you.
Well, I would say two things. First of all, as a media consultant, I now have something for clients of mine to run on next year. We're going to be able to tell 80% of American taxpayers that they got a tax cut. We can tell American workers that the companies they work for are now going to be more competitive internationally because of corporate tax cuts. And we've already seen that stock market likes this. And a significant number of people, middle class, have investments in the stock market. So they're already benefiting. I think the second big thing we have to understand, though, the Republicans got this done and now understand the formula is that the Democrats are not going to work across the aisle. So we've got to figure out a way to get things done on our own.
Jamal?
Well, I think the biggest problem here is that Americans are going to realize that they're not going to get as much out of this as they thought. It's amazing to me that Republicans who have started to lose all these races, they lost in Virginia, lost in Alabama, and now their answer to try to win Americans back is to give a tax cut that benefits people who make over $400,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in tax cuts. And for people who make less than $75,000, they're going to get hundreds of dollars of tax cuts, maybe $900 of tax cuts. That means, you know what $900 is? It's $35 every 2 weeks. It's about a tank of gas. If you think you're going to rebuild the Republican brand off of giving Americans a tank of gas every 2 weeks, I'm happy to have that debate.
But Jamal, Paul Ryan and other Republicans have been making this point over and over again in the past couple of days that Americans are going to learn to love this tax bill when they start to see that money that you're talking about in their paychecks come tax time. It actually might make a difference to a lot of people, they're saying. You sound like you don't buy that argument.
Yeah, because what I'm saying is for a tank of gas every 2 weeks, you're going to have to get $1 trillion in deficits that we're going to borrow from the Chinese. We're going to endanger the fact we may have to go after Medicare and cut Medicare costs for people. And we're going to cut back on the Obamacare health mandate so their health care costs may end up going up. I don't think you can trade a tank of gas every 2 weeks for that kind of fault line on the other side.
John?
Well, look, I think, first of all, it's amazing how this has shifted, that now the Democrats are arguing, oh, you're getting a tax cut, but it's really not as big a tax cut as you might have thought it was. Well, they voted against it. So they voted against any tax cut. That's number one. Second of all, there's going to be a lot of debates on the numbers. I've seen numbers that said that the average household who makes about $75,000 a year is going to see a tax break of about $2,000 every year. Plus, there was the doubling of the per child tax credit. And so, I think this is a great balance. I also think that it is going to make America much more secure financially in the sense that we're going to have the stability of being able to compete internationally. So if you're a blue-collar worker at a manufacturing plant, your job also just got more secure, and I think that's a pretty good thing.
Oh, that's not actually true. That's not actually true because here's the thing. All these corporate executives who are going to get these big tax cuts, and that money for the corporations, which is a permanent tax cut, while the money for individuals is a temporary tax cut, that corporate money is going to then go to shareholders and executives in bonuses. There is no indication whatsoever that that money is going to go into either wages or into more investment, unless a company has overtly said it. Like a few companies have said they would do it. Most of the companies refuse to make that kind of
commitment. Yeah, a lot of companies have said that they will give this back to shareholders and not raise wages for their workers. I want to ask about what this means for President Trump. Here he is this afternoon at a cabinet meeting talking about the tax cut plan.
A lot of reform in there, but the tax cuts supersede. And I said very specifically, use the word tax cuts. You know, for 34 years, they've been trying to do this and they haven't. And they use the word reform. Well, there is reform, but I said, we're going to be talking about tax cuts.
But as Jamal points out and as others point out, this does really help the wealthy, and the effects on the middle class remain to be seen. What does this do to Trump's populist brand that he ran on, John?
Well, first of all, I can't let that go just as a statement of fact. A lot of people would disagree with you and say this is helping. In fact, if you look at the percentages, the upper income are now going to pay a larger percentage of the entire tax burden on Americans, and the middle class are going to pay a lower burden. So, number one, that's not necessarily true. Second of all, we get into this where we talk about corporate tax cuts, and everybody wants to think about the Ford Motor Company or these companies with thousands and thousands of employees. I have 30 employees. My company is a corporation. There are a lot of small businesses. In fact, the majority of businesses in this country are small businesses. They're incorporated. And it's going to help those small businesses in this country as well. And then third of all, I don't know how you can look at anything but this being a win for the president. I think it was a much needed win. I think that both the House and the Senate pulled everything together. And I think there's a lesson here also for Donald Trump. He did this by working cautiously and in a spirit of cooperation rather than through intimidation like was tried in the health care bill. And I think that approach worked much better and was one of the reasons we have success today.
Right. The outcome of this debate is so much different than the attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Jamal, are Democrats worried that the president has figured this out and he might have learned something as he tries to get other big ticket items through Congress, whether that be an infrastructure plan, immigration reform, building the wall, that sort of thing?
Democrats have been worried since last November of 2016 when Donald Trump surprised the world and got elected
president.
But
he wasn't able to do anything before.
He wasn't able to do anything. And I think but that's the reason why you're seeing people show up in places like Virginia, where we overran, overran those elections. People show up in like Alabama. You're seeing even in Georgia, where John Ossoff lost, you saw that gap narrow down to a 3 or 4% gap. Democrats are worried and they're going to turn out and vote. The problem is, what kind of damage will the Republicans do to the republic of this, to the United States, over the course of time while they're in charge? And what we're seeing is they are willing to throw us into debt to the Chinese by another $1 trillion. We're seeing they're willing to put Medicare in jeopardy. And now they're going to perhaps be willing to do a bunch of other things that are going to really hurt the economy in the meantime.
I got a question, though. All of a sudden, we have these new deficit hawks on the Democrat side, the same Democrats who
like Bill Clinton, who helped cut the deficit and get a surplus?
Under President Obama, the Democrats raised the deficit by $10 trillion. So now, all of a sudden, they're critics of tax cuts because they're not big enough. They're critics of the deficit going up. What this president and this Congress did on the Republican side is they bet on America. They bet that by making competition more available for our corporations, by putting more dollars in the households of hardworking families, that we'll see the economy take off even greater than it is. And right now, this is a pretty darn good economy.
Well, let's just be sure we get the history right. Bill Clinton got us to a place where we had surpluses in the budget. George Bush is the one who did tax cuts and went to war without paying for it, that made us have deficit spending. And then when Barack Obama took office, we had the biggest recession we'd ever seen, and so he was trying to borrow money in order to get us out of that hole. Now we have a pretty good economy. We got to increase wages, but the Republicans are willing to take food off of our shelves that we're going to need for a rainy day and spend it today when we don't actually need to do it. And they're not even going to guarantee that wages are going to get increased.
Okay.
This is a problem.
Let me just get to one more thing in the minute or so we have left. I want to understand what happened with Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, both of whom are not running again and do not like President Trump and decided to vote for this bill. Now, here's Bob Corker on CNN yesterday. Was asked about what's being called the Corker kickback, whether he changed his vote from a no to a yes on the final plan because of the addition of a provision that would benefit real estate company owners like himself.
I know people are having a good time with this, but it's just malicious. I'm making this decision because I believe that it is best for the country, period.
John, help me understand, why do you think Corker and Flake voted for this?
Yeah, I saw Corker say this, that he looked at the entirety of the bill And he wasn't happy with everything. But when you look at the significant tax cuts going to working families and to help make America more competitive, that he felt that that was the driving force of why he had to support this, even though he is still concerned about how it will raise the deficit.
But he had nothing to lose.
Well, other than his credibility and his honor, and we've seen from Bob Corker, is this is somebody who's not afraid to go his own way. He has, particularly in recent months. And so for him to also come on board, I think it shows that there is universal agreement that this is something that's good for America and good for working families.
It's just amazing that that thing that's good for America is a big cutout for real estate investors like Bob Corker. And number two, that we know all these Republican donors were saying this is something that had to happen. I think that's the place to look at the Republican donors who told all these Republicans, be for this or you're going
to
pay a price.
Right. I mean, it does seem like a question that is at least fair to pose to the senator. Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist, and John Brabender, a Republican strategist. Thanks to you
both. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.